Good evening. This is the KRFP Evening Report for Tuesday, November 2nd, 2010. I'm Lee Robertus with Susan Austin. In the news tonight, Taquilla suspect pleads not guilty to anti-Muslim malicious harassment crime. City Council hears report on Hamilton Low Aquatic Center and approves cell phone stipends for city employees. And Idaho Representative Hart appeals Idaho income tax judgment, contending the tax is unconstitutional. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robertus with Susan Austin, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. The Moscow City Council voted 3-2 last night with one abstention in favor of a stipend plan to reimburse city employees who use their personal cell phones for city business. The city will reimburse certain employees $25 per month for call access and $50 per month for call data and email access. Councilmember Tim Brown was one of the no votes.
I bought a smartphone to accommodate city business, but I just don't think we should be taking additional money on the city's back to cover those expenses. So I'm going to vote against this.
Moscow City Council Member Tim Brown. In other business, the City Council last night heard a report on the Hamilton Low Aquatic Center from City Recreation Supervisor Eric Newell. Newell said since the pool's net loss was $57,600 this year, he expects a fee increase at the Aquatic Center next year. The loss is much less than the expected $124,000 loss that was budgeted for.
We had a cold summer. I think that those of us that were outside, like to be outside, there weren't as many hot days, and there were a lot more cold days. We didn't have any snow this year, as we did a couple years ago. However, could have had snow a couple days. June and July were much colder than last year, and August was slightly warmer. We were able to purchase a new ADA lift for the pool. This is actually the only certified portable ADA lift on the market. So we're actually able to get it completely off of the deck. There's nothing in the way. Then once we reopen or someone wants to use it, we can go get it, wheel it up to the side of the pool, get them in the water, get them right back out. It can lift up to 450 pounds.
Newell also reported the city will be replastering the lap pool soon and will install new shower systems with infrared on-off buttons. City staff asked the Moscow City Council last night for direction on moving forward with a one-year smoke-free playground pilot program resolution. City Council member Wayne Krause had some concerns with the idea.
If we have a problem with cigarette butts in Friendship Square, that's littering. And I believe we have a city ordinance against littering. And so that would be one way to enforce that. You know, it's interesting when we have a chance to hear some of these agenda items at committee meeting, and then it's a couple of weeks or so or 3 weeks before it gets to the council level, and have an opportunity to think about it and dwell upon how you feel about the process. You know, we started off with making it illegal to smoke in bars. And that was brought to us through a citizen concern, and there was a lot of citizen input and a lot of study on that issue before council made the decision to ban smoking in bars. We have a situation now where this has not been brought forth by a citizens committee nor a complaint from citizens, and we also have the comment from Dwight that this has not been a problem necessarily in the parks. I have a major concern that this is a continuing creeping forward of eventually banning smoking in all outside areas, period. Now, that being said, I like the comments that Sue made. I made the tongue-in-cheek comment from an old song years ago, signs everywhere, everywhere is signed, do this, don't do that. But I can see, you know, maybe some stickers that would be reminding people to do that. But I'm at this point in time, I'll go on record as saying that if this comes forward to us in a year to vote on a no-smoking ordinance in the parks, I will not vote for that.
City Councilmember Wayne Krause. Krause said, however, if those running organized activities in parks such as Renaissance Fair or Rendezvous in the Park wanted their activities to be smoke-free, he might be amenable to that. Councilmember Tom Lamar liked the sticker idea and made a motion for staff to come up with a resolution to have the stickers made and placed on playgrounds. The motion passed unanimously.
The Seattle Times reports Jennifer Lee Jennings of Burien pleaded not guilty Tuesday morning to two counts of malicious harassment for allegedly attacking two Muslim women at a gas station in Tukwila on October 16th. The two alleged victims are American citizens of Somali descent. The two women have asked only to be identified by their first names, Iman and Marion, out of concerns that there may be reprisals for pursuing the case. Iman says she was frantic and yelled for help from a dozen or so bystanders who stood watching the incident and refused to come to the victim's aid. Iman told a press conference earlier this month that she and her aunt were trying to get gas shortly before 6 p.m. on the 16th at an Arco AM-PM gas station and were having trouble getting the pump to work when Jennings approached and started calling them, quote, suicide bomber, asking them they were going to bomb this country and telling them to, quote, go back to your country. Iman said at that point she went inside to talk to the clerk about the gas pump, and when she came back out, she saw Jennings slam a car door on her aunt's leg, pulling off her aunt's headscarf and kicking her. Iman told Jennings to leave them alone, and Jennings pushed her so hard that she fell down. Iman said that when she got no help from witnesses, she called Tukwila police, who arrested Jennings at the gas station and booked her into King County Jail. Jennings, who says her legal name is Jennifer Adams, later told the Seattle Times that she may have said, quote, some choice words, but she doesn't recall ever hitting, kicking, or slamming the car door on either of the two women. She said she has nothing against their religion and was just coming to the defense of a gas station attendant because the two women were yelling at the attendant about the gas pump. Tukwila police say a videotape of the incident was recorded by AMPM and turned over to police.
A woman prosecuted for leaving her son alone at the Boise Music Festival last month for 5 hours pled guilty today to felony injury to a child. Angie A. Ammerman left her son at the back of a crowd of 50,000 to go to the front of the crowd to dance and get autographs. According to the Idaho Statesman, Ammerman will be sentenced December 12th.
The Idaho Statesman reports that an email survey of 689 Idaho AARP members revealed that 60% of voters age 50 and above believe the state and the county are moving in the wrong direction. The survey also found only 43% of respondents said candidates for state office are focusing on issues that are important to them, and 35% think candidates for Congress have been addressing their issues. AARP Idaho spokesperson David Irwin said the survey shows that respondents are, quote, not in a good mood. Idaho voters 50 and older have historically cast two-thirds of the votes in midterm elections. Irwin said AARP Idaho members have cast 3 out of every 10 ballots in past midterm elections. While online voter surveys can give a snapshot of likely voters who are engaged enough to take the time to answer the survey, voters who are less interested in politics are also less likely to respond to such surveys. The AARP survey showed that 95% of all respondents plan to vote. 36% identify themselves as independent, 46% lean towards moderate, 31% towards conservative, and 19% towards liberal.
The state of Idaho filed a motion in First District Court today to dismiss a tax challenge by Republican Idaho House member Phil Hart of Athol. The state contends Hart owes $53,000 in state income taxes, but he has appealed on the grounds that the state income tax is unconstitutional. Hart's 7-page appeal says the income tax, quote, as a graduated tax, fails the uniformity requirement. A court date has been set for December 7th. Hart recently sent a payment of $2,450 to the State Department of Lands to, quote, clear up any amount due on any unpaid timber. In this different issue, Hart fought in the state courts after being held responsible for timber he stole from state endowment land to build his Kootenai County home. Hart marked his most recent payment a voluntary donation. State officials say the voluntary donation designation makes it difficult to classify the money. Money marked as donations to the state endowment system must be held in perpetuity, and only the interest may be spent. The $2,450 is the value of the timber that Hart stole in 1996, but court records show Hart owes $22,827 because state law declares those who steal timber must repay the state three times that amount. There are also court fees and interest accumulated as Hart fought the charges through the state court system. Hart had previously forfeited a $5,000 bond he posted when he lost at the Court of Appeals level. The state may be unable to collect because under state law, the judgment is not enforceable after 5 years have passed. The Associated Press says state investment manager Larry Johnson has tried to contact Hart to clarify the donation, and Hart has thus far declined to return his call. Johnson says they will take the donation on the check at face value and classify it as a donation. Whether this donation is accepted as a timber payment by Hart is unclear. Hart is still fighting the state and federal government over $500,000 he owes in back taxes. The Idaho House Ethics Committee this summer voted unanimously to remove Hart from the House Tax Committee.
Imperial Oil ExxonMobil announced yesterday that it's shifting gears at the Kearl Oil Sands Project in Alberta, Canada, but company spokesperson Pius Rollheiser told the Missoulian that the changes don't affect Imperial Oil's megaload plans to transport more than 200 supersized modules through Idaho and Montana to fuel the project. Rollheiser said Imperial is reconfiguring a plan that will, quote, minimize facility requirements as well as potentially reducing the plant footprint, end quote. The company plans to spend more than $7.84 billion for the first phase of, quote, a combination of debottlenecking and expansion. The news release said, quote, this approach will leverage our execution learnings from the project to this point and take advantage of investments in infrastructure that won't need to be duplicated in the future. Imperial Exxon still plans to have the massive mining project up and running in 2012 and up to full capacity by 2020.
The Seattle Times reports independent groups have spent more than $5 million in the past week to sway voters on behalf of Democrat Patty Murray and Republican challenger Dino Rossi, who are both running for U.S. Senate, bringing the outside money spent on the Washington U.S. Senate race to a total of $19 million. Spending by independent groups can be unlimited as long as they are not coordinated with the candidates. Rossi has benefited from nearly $11 million in independent spending in the form of ads supporting him or attacking Murray, a three-term incumbent. Murray has benefited from $8 million in outside spending. More than half of Rossi's independent expenditures have come from nonprofits that do not have to reveal their donors, making him one of the top beneficiaries of anonymous contributions nationwide in this election. Rossi and Murray were at a statistical tie in recent polls. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather, mostly clear tonight and tomorrow, low 41, high 59. Wednesday night, partly cloudy, low 41, and mostly sunny Thursday, high 57. Right now, there's fair skies and 53 degrees. We'll be joining Pacifica Radio this evening for election results from Los Angeles, Berkeley, and Washington, D.C., and we'll also have local election results throughout the evening right here on KRFP Moscow. I'm Lee Robartis with Susan Austin. Thanks for tuning into the KRFP Evening Report, and remember, every edition of the Evening Report is available on the Radio Free Moscow website. Have a good night.